Hello, and welcome to the podcast of Vineyard Church here in Maryville, Tennessee. We post our Sunday messages here each week, as well as our conversations episodes, which include interviews, special announcements, and in-depth teaching. You can visit vineyardchurch.us to learn more about us or to access the audio archive. You can also subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. And now, here's the episode.
Good morning, everybody. Are we awake? You are not sick, I hope, because half the town is. So well done being here. I want to invite some friends. I brought friends today, and I'm going to introduce them in just a second. We are starting a sermon series called Missio Dei, which is Latin for the mission of God. And so for the next few weeks, we are going to talk missions. I am pumped. I think God's going to do some amazing things over the next few weeks. If you don't know, if you're new to the Vineyard, we are actually not just one little siloed church. The Vineyard is a global family representing hundreds and even thousands of churches, literally blanketing the map of planet Earth. And we have some friends from our global Vineyard family from South Africa today. We have Dave Pedersen and Andrew Christie, and their wives Colleen and Mandy are here. I'm not going to say too much about Andrew because he's actually going to be speaking this morning, and I'm telling you, you're in for a treat. But Dave, I just want to introduce him quickly. Dave is not only pastoring a Vineyard church in what's called Port Elizabeth, and I can't say the other name for it, he'll tell us that, but Port Elizabeth, South Africa, but he also is the national director of the Vineyard churches in South Africa, and as if that wasn't enough, he's also helping coordinate the global missions team for the Vineyard global family. So it's a really big role, so it's an absolute honor. He wanted to bring you guys greetings, and then we'll go from there.
Thanks, Josh. And as you can hear, there's no time to sin. We just keep going in the Lord. But it's lovely to be with you here, and I'll bring you greetings from the Vineyard in South Africa, and the Vineyard that's in hidden places around the world as well. It's been quite a privilege to be involved in so many different countries, and seeing what God is doing and how He uses. And this is the thing I think I love the most about the Vineyard: how God uses limping leaders. People who've worked with their pain and their brokenness. How many of you know that following Jesus is actually a journey, not just a momentary decision? It's a journey of unfolding and maturing. And sometimes when we stumble and we fall, God uses that to equip us far better than any other way. So we've seen that. And it's been a privilege for me to get to know Josh over these years as well. We've met in different contexts around the globe, but particularly in Africa. And we want to invite you to consider the call of God in your life to be involved in the wider work as we continue to extend the kingdom. And whenever I come to Tennessee and listening to the songs that we were singing like today, I recall a time 30-something years back when part of my journey was in a difficult place, and I felt like the Lord just called me to speak to me here at the Tennessee River. And He said to me, "Dave, I want you to put your hand in this water and stop the water." And I looked around to make sure nobody was watching, but the water didn't stop. And He said to me, "Just like you can't stop this river, you can't stop me loving you. I want you to know it's my choice. And there's nothing you could do to make me love you more, and nothing you could do to make me love you less." And that has been such a formative revelation to me, that God began to shape my life differently from that time on. And I've really appreciated that. He's done so much for me in that. And just to say, it's lovely to be here with you guys here, with Aaron and Sharon as well. You've got some great leaders who have shown resilience. And I love that about the Christian faith, the resilience we have to go the distance and aim to finish well. And just to say about Andrew, and I'm sure Josh will introduce a bit more. Andrew is one of our leadership members on the leader team in South Africa, leads the Vineyard in the northern part of our country, and also in a number of missional ways as well, all over the continent of Africa. And you're in for a treat as we just listen to God's heart coming through Andrew. So thank you for having us here, and your hospitality in Tennessee is outstanding. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dave. Dave is actually going to be ministering to our staff and actually some staff members from some other Vineyard churches in our area tomorrow morning, so we're really excited about them doing that. Will you guys stand with me? We're going to say our prayer together. This is a prayer written by leaders of our church. that really represents how we see God and how we see being on mission with Him. So it's very appropriate to pray every week and especially today. So I'll get us started and you guys can take it from there. Father, Son,
and Holy Spirit, you alone are our King. Give us wisdom, courage, and kindness, that we might bear your image well. Unify us in heart, soul, and purpose, that the world might know your love. Make us your hands, generous and compassionate. Make us your feet, valiant and steady, in service to you and all you created. Give us love.
Amen. You guys can have a seat. Andrew Christie has just become a dear friend, mostly over Zoom, but even more recently in person. You guys are in for a treat. And before he starts, I want to encourage us, okay, over the next few minutes. This sermon is really designed not just for a group of people or type of people, but literally for every person in the room to hear from the Lord. I just want to challenge you today, as much as you have in recent memory, really say, God, what is it that you want to speak to me today? And so would you guys give a hand for Andrew? Andrew, thanks for being here, man.
You know, there's no pressure in this sermon now, after that introduction. So my name is Andrew Christie. It's wonderful to be here, and as Dave said, you guys do hospitality well, huh? I tell you something. I may need to pay for extra luggage when we go home, and it's not actually the baggage I'm paying for. I might need extra seat space because you guys can eat. Man, we got taken to restaurants all over. How do you finish the food? It's ridiculous. You know, we were in Houston with some friends there and ministering around, and we had food all over, and Bubba wanted us to taste all the different food. So you know, we had a kolache, Tex-Mex, chicken fried steak, had all these, and on the last day before we were coming down to the conference in New Braunfels, there were about six or seven of us, and we just ate leftovers. There was enough leftovers to feed seven people, and Bubba's daughter ate with us as well, and she took food home. So kind of just like, I'm glad I wore my stretchy pants. is that overshare? Listen, this is family, hey? We Vineyard, we family. What gets said in the sanctuary stays in the sanctuary, okay? I know this has been live streamed. Okay, I need to be careful. All right. So you can edit the live stream, huh? Okay. So I grew up Greek Orthodox. Okay. Grew up from a Cypriot Greek background in South Africa. I had no context of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I knew kind of there was a Holy Spirit because you pray, you know, in the church and what have you. But no context of Him empowering me, no context of a personal relationship with Jesus, or no context of living out the mission and message of Jesus empowered by the Spirit in my life. And I think that's what I want to talk about today, this thing of the Missio Dei. I want to look at what it means to engage with the mission of God in our lives, and how do we live out the message and ministry of Jesus empowered by the Holy Spirit, but every day, in every way, wherever we go, at our home, at our work, at our play, at our recreation, whatever we're doing, living out our Christianity. Because, you know, when you come to faith, it is not a fire-extinguishing exercise to get you to heaven. You know? You know that? Okay, one lady knows that. She's nodding. All right, so, but the deal is, you know, too often we've cauterized the gospel and have said, come to Jesus and you'll go to heaven. But what about our life between Christmas and Easter, between the birth and resurrection of Jesus? He did some stuff and calls us to do some stuff. So can I ask a question? Do we agree that we all have gifts, spiritual gifts? If you have the Holy Spirit and you have gifts, do you know that God doesn't make clones, He makes children? and you are his child, and he distributes the gifts, the Holy Spirit, as he sees fit. So we are unique individuals. You know, if you look around the room, no one looks the same. You might look around the room, and I can say that if everyone's a Christian, you're going to be spending eternity with some of these people. So if you look at the person next to you, you're going to be spending eternity. Some of you look worried about that. So, but we each have a unique role to play. There is no plan B, guys. Let me say to you, Vineyard Family Church, where you are, in your work, in your play, in your environment, in your school, wherever you are, in your family, there is no plan B. You're it. God has created you and gifted you and placed you for a time such as this. And all you need to do is say, yes, I'm available. So just a quick story, you know, on this. We were going between Johannesburg and Durban. So Johannesburg is where we're from. Oh, and I greet you from our church in Centurion, our wonderful, beautiful, amazing church. They send their greetings. So we were traveling down. It's about a 6-7 hour drive. And we got to a town, just before a town called Harrismith. You come through some mountains. There was a traffic jam. There was an accident on the highway. We sat in the car for about 30 or 45 minutes. And I kind of started getting a bit grumpy, you know. I don't know. You know, I'm a bit of an A-type personality. So if we're going, we go. And now we're just kind of sitting there. And I said I have a kind of Cypriot Greek background. So there's a little Greek in me that kind of pops out, and my faith, my Christianity, kind of. And anyway, we got through that, and we got to a little stop called Wimpy, which I guess is like Wendy's. But it's in a stop. I did this the last, not Chucky's. What is it called? Help me. Bucky's. Thank you. Man, it's stuck in my head, and I kept saying Chucky's, and it's Bucky's. Okay. So Bucky's. Okay. So it's like Bucky's, but it's just a little bit smaller. You know, like Bucky's bathroom is like a hotel. If you've been there, it's like, wow, man, I could just hang out in the bathroom. I don't have to go anywhere else. But anyway. So we go into this place, and I'm grumpy, I'm tired, I've got this whole team of guys with me, and we just about, and I just want to get food, and I want to get moving. And one of our team members, she grabs the waitress, and she says, listen, have you got pain in your body? Can we pray for you? And she prays for this waitress, and the waitress is healed. Then she does this thing, and she says, if there's anyone else around who needs prayer or anything, you know, can you send them to us? And in my grumpiness, and in my A-type personality, I was willing to be interrupted and available. And our team, through our team and what have you, we saw 13, let me just get the numbers right, 13 people healed, 2 salvations, back pain, leg pain, shoulder pain, body pain disappeared as the kingdom broke in. As we were just there. And that weekend, we got down to Durban and we did some translocal ministry with various churches. We saw people healed, blind people see, lady walk without a walking stick, pain leave, empowering by the Holy Spirit. And after the service on the Sunday, about 12 young people who were in the service said, man, we want to be baptized. So we went to the pastor's house and we baptized them there and there. The kingdom breaks in when we're available. And, you know, the mission of God is for all of us, and it is for today. About living a naturally supernatural life. So I want to just point to some scripture, and then we'll unpack that a little bit. So when Jesus came into ministry, he came into the synagogue, he unrolled the scroll of Isaiah, and we read in Luke 4, 18 and 19. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor, send me to proclaim freedom for the captives, or the captives will be released, the blind will see, the oppressed will be set free, and the time of the Lord's favor has come. You know, that's the commission of all of us as Christians. You know, if you hang out with Christians, I've been doing this a little while since last century. Some of the young people, you know, look a bit gray. Don't worry, I'm not that old, okay? But, you know, if you meet people and they go, man, what is my specific calling? What is the one thing Jesus is calling me to do? I'm like, you know what, live out Luke 4, 18 and 19. So preach the kingdom, bring the good news, proclaim captives will be released, heal the sick, set the oppressed free, say that. Do that, do those couple of things, and then you'll figure it out along the way. So he calls us. Jesus says this, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, speaking about himself. But then he goes on and he commissions the 12, and we see in Luke 9, verse 1 and 2, calls the 12 disciples together, and he says, one day, Jesus, the scripture says, one day Jesus called the 12 apostles, gave them power and authority to cast out demons, heal diseases, and he sent them out to tell everyone about the coming kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So it was Jesus, then it was the 12. Then interestingly enough, you go to Luke 10, and Jesus then commissions the 72. And Luke 10 verse 1 says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place he was about to go. But it doesn't stop there. Then Matthew 28, that famous passage, he commissions all of us. Jesus came to them and said, Matthew 28, 18 to 20, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. All the nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. Now, you might be thinking, well, okay, given the context, that was 2,000 years ago, is that applicable today? So I want to point you to a scripture, it's one of my favorite scriptures, that shows us that this is applicable for every person today. And we fast forward to Acts 2. Peter's preached the sermon, 3,000 plus people have given their lives to Jesus, and they go, what do we need to do? And he says, no, repent, be baptized, and you'll be given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then, here's the deal. This promise is for you, your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom our Lord God will call. And that far off, the Greek word for it is es. And it is not a distance deal. It's not Johannesburg to Atlanta. Jesus help me, that was a 17-hour flight. Okay? It's not the distance. It is time. It is a present continuous verb. So it is all whom God will call into the future. So it's a forever, it's forward, it's perpetual throughout. It's a present continuous. It's not referring to distance, it's referring to time in the future. So you get it? It was the 12, it was the 72, it was for all of us, for all time, until Jesus comes back. That's the deal here. But what does this look like in my everyday life? Like today, where we are, in Maryville, I don't know, help me. You know, I've been kind of traveling around and I say I'm going to Maryville and they say no, it's Maryville. And then I say, okay, Maryville, and then they say no, it's Maryville. But it's this place, right? So how do I say it? Help me. Maryville. Okay, there we go. Okay. I won't forget that now. Well, might go like Chucky's and Bucky's. I don't know. Bucky's? Bucky's. There we go. Okay. So, in my everyday life, Christ is the head and the Holy Spirit is the administrator. We want to be stewards of his presence. We want to be presence-led, not program-driven. It's about Jesus. It's about his Holy Spirit. Okay? John Wimber said it this way. We are seeking a lifestyle of relationship with God and renewal of spirituality. And this makes response to the Holy Spirit key. And when you're going in your everyday life, when you're not program-driven but presence-led, you can be walking into shops, into different places, wherever you are, and just being presence-led and just listening to the promptings of God and praying for people. And that is engaging with the Missio Dei. That is engaging with the mission of God. Because when I say mission, language carries baggage, right? In other words, we all understand the word differently. So when I say mission, what do you hear? We're going on mission. Okay, so we're going to Haiti. Or we're going to South Africa, or we're going to Johannesburg. We're getting on an aeroplane and we're going somewhere, right? That's often what people hear. But in the context of mission, scriptural mission, it is when you leave this place, wherever you go, you are on mission. You are. Because can you tell me that every single person you know knows Jesus? And not knows about Jesus, knows Jesus. There's a distinction, there's a difference. Is everyone, you know, everyone saved? Then you're on mission somewhere. And just let me explain it this way when I say know Jesus and know about Jesus. If I use Nelson Mandela, do you get the... Everyone know who Nelson Mandela is? Okay. So in South Africa, you go a very long way to find someone who hasn't heard about Jesus. So this is just kind of some wisdom that a friend brought to me. And I said, okay. So I said, do you know? And they go, yeah, of course I know about Jesus. So I go, okay. Do you know Nelson Mandela? They go, yes, of course I know who Nelson Mandela is. But did you meet the man? Do you have a relationship with him? Did you walk out with him? Do you know him as a person? Or do you know about him? Distinction. So that's the deal as we go on mission into the world, to be presence-led, not program-driven. But there's this narrative on social media, there's this narrative around the world that is kind of centers around Christians criticizing Christians, especially when it comes to the prophetics, to the supernatural, to having words of knowledge, whatever the case may be, because of excesses in the church. So, and I get it. So many people will label themselves as prophet. I'm Prophet Andrew. You don't have those here in the States, huh? It's only in Africa that we have them. Is that right? Oh, you have them. Okay. So then, you know, then you have the guys that get a nice big Bible, a shiny suit and white shoes, and they call themselves pastor. Do you have those guys here? No, we have lots of them outside. Then you have the other guys that really are like the super anointed guys that call themselves apostle. Huh? When you meet someone, they go, hi, I'm Apostle Andrew. You're like, oh my goodness, Jesus help me. So, because all these things are not titles, they are functions within the church to build up the body of Christ, isn't it? You know, but then there's this other side of the pendulum when we talk about the supernatural and all that, where people they feel like they're the church police. I don't know if you're on social media. There's some people that all they do is criticize other leaders and other pastors. And, you know, I've done my research and I've watched this YouTube video. And, you know, Aaron is dodge, eh? This Aaron guy at Maryville. Did I get it right? I got it right, eh? You know, he's not. He's a good guy. Okay, I'm kidding. If you're visiting for the first time, he really is a good guy. Okay, you can trust him. But, you know, the church, you know, those people that go, I have the gift of discernment and I have discerned that. You know, and it's never a positive discern that. It's always there's something wrong, isn't it? So I would say they don't have a gift of discernment, they have a gift of criticism. So, is that too close to home? Sorry. Am I offending you? I'm going back to South Africa. It's Aaron and Josh's problem. So, man, I better stick to my notes. I'm going to get myself into trouble. Huh? Sorry, guys. I love you all. I love the Vineyard family. So anyway, but what this has led to, all these excesses in the church, is we throw the baby out with the bathwater. That works in our context. Yeah. So we take the spiritual gifts, the prophetic, the supernatural, praying for the sick, and we toss it out with the bathwater because of all these excesses in the church. But if you have the Spirit of God indwelling you, the very Spirit that raised and resurrected Jesus from the dead indwells you, surely all you need to do is walk this thing out. You know, and often we don't prophesy, we don't pray, we don't do any of these things because of these excesses. But I'm not talking about just in church. I'm not talking about just when you go to a Bible study or home group or connect group or whatever you call them, or you come to whatever it is. Jesus said, as you go, and he wasn't referring just to church meetings. He didn't say, as you go to synagogue, do these things. He said, as you go into the malls and into Chucky's, Bucky's, I'll get it right. As you go, do this, as you go. The call to be naturally supernatural throughout all of our lives. You know, and it's not, the Missio Dei is not just getting on an aeroplane and going somewhere. It's in every moment of every day, we're presence led by the Lord and we share Jesus. We carry his presence. We are image bearers of the Almighty. And Acts 1:8, if you know Acts 1:8, it's kind of from Jerusalem, Judea, Sumerian, unto the uttermost parts of the world. That happens simultaneously. So from home to or from church to the city to the nations, it all happens at the same time. So what I'm talking about is not, I'm not suggesting that everyone needs to get on an aeroplane and come to Africa. However, Dave has invited you and you are welcome to come and spend some time and come and minister there. But it's as you go. So let me ask you two questions. I have two questions for you to ponder and think about this morning. First one is, when last did you minister to somebody that you didn't have to minister to? So not someone in church or someone in your small group. When last did you do that? When last did you just, where you were, in the shops, whatever the case may be, not someone within your church context? That's the first question. And the second question is often a tough one. And when I ask this at churches and different places where I've had the privilege to share, this is where people stop making eye contact with me. When last did you lead somebody to Jesus? And that's when people start going like this. Because, man, that's the deal. There's a lost world out there that needs to be saved. And we all have these gifts, but they're not given to us just to make us look good. They're given to us to advance the kingdom. And Paul says it this way in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. He says this to the church in Ephesus and to us. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built. Are you kind of picking it up that all these gifts are not to have these high-flying ministries, names, and titles, but are actually at the bottom of the church building up the saints? Who are the saints? You and me, all of us, every single person, for the works of ministry. And that is, my conviction of that is, that it is multicultural, multigenerational, and both genders. We all get to play, from the littlest to the oldest. The youth, man, to see packs of young people praying for the sick around the city, that would be so cool. Oh, I think that would be cool. No, okay, just. So Paul's encouragement is that we're not to make Christian superstars, but serve the body of Christ and equip the body of Christ into what God has called them to do. And the two Greek words that Paul uses here is katharsismos and ikuthume, okay, which means that the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are not called to do the work themselves. Okay, they're called to perfect, edify, complete, structure, confirm, equip, and build up the people that they are serving. We all get to do this. Everybody gets to play. But I want to just kind of put a proviso in this thing, that all these gifts should be local church-based. All these gifts exist within the context of this body and should exist and flow from the body, not outside the body in, where there's accountability and relationships and all sorts of things. Because, you know, when you travel, people think you're authority on everything. You know, I don't know if it's because you get on an airplane, they think you're getting closer to heaven, so that when you land, hey, you, God's dropped, he's kind of downloaded some, so you can talk to me about youth and kids and adults and any, I'm the authority because I've been closer to heaven. But sometimes that's the deal when we travel, isn't it? It's a place where we are known and are in accountable relationships. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthian church, says this in 1 Corinthians 12, 11 and 12. All these are work of one and the same Spirit. He gives them to each one just as he determines. The body is a unit that is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. And so it is with Christ. And for me, two themes emerge out of this text. First of all, we don't own the gifts. The Holy Spirit distributes them as he sees fit. Did you see it in that passage? As he wills in specific situations. So the implication of that is, you can't. It's not biblical to walk around and feel a word for someone. I have a word of knowledge and not share it because I'm not a prophet. Because the Holy Spirit distributes gifts as he sees fit. We can all pray for the sick. We can all prophesy. We can all have words of knowledge. We can all cast out demons. We can all raise the dead. That's the one deal I haven't got yet. And I'm praying, maybe Jesus, before I die one day, I will see a dead person raised. Seeing all the other stuff. But the ownership of the gifts are his alone. And this means calling yourself prophet or apostle or healer or giving yourself a title is misguided. Okay? Because there are functions in the church. The second theme is that we are called to belong to church. You see it? It is about the church. Paul is addressing the church. So they are local church-based. We don't, I'm not going to get an office. You're not going to come to Johannesburg and see my office with a sign up that says Dr. Apostle Prophet Reverend Andrew Christie Ministries of the International Global Universal Intergalactic Church of Miracles. Oh, look, we have those. but that's not biblical, is it? In this car, it's not biblical. We don't start a deliverance ministry or prophetic ministry or apostolic ministry or any ministry, a healing ministry, outside the four walls of the church. We are called to go outside the four walls of the church. But the ministries are birthed here to equip the saints for the works of ministry, and then we go and we do all these things. But it's in the context of those relationships where we are together and we can walk this thing out together, not independently. So we engage in local church. We plug in local church as the Holy Spirit empowers us and gives us influence. And then what happens is as we serve our way to influence, we are sent from the local church. And we're sent into the world around us. So we need to belong to church. And there's six levels of church, and I'll just touch on them briefly. The first level of church or interconnection that we need is where two or three are gathered. If you do not, you know Jesus said that two or three? He said, where two or three are gathered, he's there. Do you have the two or three in your life? Do you have two or three people in your life that you can just be really, really real with and vulnerable that can walk out a journey? If you haven't, find them. Second level of church or level of interconnectedness is your house gathering or life church or home group or kinship group or whatever you call them. You know, are you part of a small group in our church? And I say our church here, sorry Sharon, but it is. We're Vineyard family, so it's our church. If you come to Joburg, you can say the same thing. We are one family, the church. But are you part of a small group? Because too often in church, over all the years of ministry, I'll hear things like, man, this church is just not friendly. I was in hospital and no one told me. No one visited me. No one phoned. My child was sick. I didn't have food. No one told. Listen, as anointed as all our leaders are, and whatever the case may be, none of us are prophetic enough to know what's going on in every single person's life in every moment. Get into a small group where you are known and you can share your life and you can be cared for in that context. Small groups are important. And then the local congregation, here where we are, what we're talking about, in any given city. But being part of a local congregation is so much more than being a chair warmer. You call to get involved. You call to bring your gifts. You bring something here. It's not just for Sharon, Aaron, Josh, and Amanda to do everything. You have a role to play in the local congregation. Wimber put it this way, and it's a powerful statement, and I've kind of paraphrased it a little bit, and it goes like this, just about local church. When we count on and depend on, when we let everything hinge on and rest on a few distinctive leaders, faithful men and women of God, to dish out and distribute healing, prophecy, giving, words of knowledge, prayer, care, love, basically any revelations and gifts of the Holy Spirit, we disempower God's army and turn them into onlookers, spectators, basically an audience. Family, I say to you, you're not an audience. You know who God's army is? You are. 100%. Every single person here is part of God's army. It's just not, I mean, can you imagine if we catch this? Can you imagine if every person who was at the last service and this service actually gets this and walks this out? It'll change the city. It'll change the nation because you will become a disciple who makes disciples, who makes disciples. And then all of a sudden you're going to get calls from the hospitals going, can you please stop sending people here to pray for the sick because we've got no one to care for. How cool would that be? And the police station going, can you stop praying? Our police officers have got nothing to do. Every single one of us have this part to play. Then the fourth kind of level of connection is the church in a larger geographical region or area, the Vineyard. So we are part of the Vineyard. There are vineyards in 110 nations. There are families like this in 110 nations around the globe that we are part of. But it's not just about the Vineyard. It is about the kingdom of God. So we work hard to work ecumenically with other movements and other streams and other denominations. And we work closely with the body of Christ. You know, when we go around, when I plant churches, wherever we are, my challenge to pastors in the area is, I would prefer not to release you as a vineyard church until the church, the ecumenical church around you, recognizes you as a church. So make an effort to go out there and meet the guys and develop relationships with the Methodists and the Anglicans and the... Have you got those guys? Yeah, yeah, you must have, hey. And Baptists. Oh, lots of Baptists. Beautiful. But make an effort, okay, to engage with that. The fifth level of connection is the church throughout the world. We are interconnected with Christians around the globe, and we hold one another accountable. The universal Catholic Church, not Catholic Church Pope. When you say Catholic Church, you're talking about the whole body of Christ. And on this one, my heart grieves when I see how Christians behave when prominent leaders fall. The first thing is judgment. The first thing is, man, another one. First thing is, look at what's happened with this guy. Another sinner. Man, our hearts should be grieved. These are family. We should be praying and crying out to God and repenting and saying, Lord, no. Restore those people. Restore that. I don't know that anyone as a Christian intentionally walks out to hurt people or mess up or whatever. Man, we should be grieved with what's going on in the church at the moment, not judgmental and criticize everything. Because I think some of us, you know, the whole splint in your eye and log in your eye thing. I mean, who of us can carry these ministries and these authorities honestly and say, I would still walk it out with character and commitment and integrity with Jesus? And then the final level of interconnectedness is the church of all ages. So we're interconnected with the church that has been and will be. And we need to learn from the church from 2,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago. Let's learn from the church. Let's not discard lessons from the past, because there's richness in our heritage. And we can learn lessons, both the good and the bad. And if we want to go forward, can we learn to do it better? But we need to learn from that. And the deal is that as Christians, I think we so often become theoreticians instead of practitioners. So we sit, how many sermons have you heard? How many sermons have I heard? How many sermons have I preached? You know, I often say to my wife, you know, if I just listened to half the advice I dish out, my life would be way better. But we need to take that and not just be theoreticians, but actually put it into practice. Okay, we need a demonstration of God's power so that people can see that He is real and that He's pursuing them. It's both the proclamation and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and the message of Jesus. Paul said it this way, my message and preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Quick question, if you've ever led anyone to Jesus, did you lead them through by arguing them into the kingdom? I've never argued anyone into the kingdom, ever. Man, I love on them, and the Holy Spirit comes, and it is just so easy. And they go, man, I want this. You don't have to. When the Holy Spirit is there, people want Jesus. You don't have to argue them into anything. But it's not about titles, self-promotion, or anything else. So my encouragement is, if you have a prophetic word, share it. If you have a prompting to pray for someone, pray for them. You know, wherever you are, let it be undergirded by love. And again, you might be going, yeah, but, you know, this is a bit difficult. But let me ask you another question. I'm full of questions this morning. But when you go into any store, so you go into Target or Walmart or wherever you go in, someone in the earlier service said Building Depot. Yeah? Okay, so you go there. When you look at people, you can see. Tell me you can't see someone is sad, that there's pain, that something's going on in them. And it's just a matter of going, hey, are you okay? Can I pray for you? I started out, I was in business. I had restaurants many years ago. And I mean, people used to come and pour their hearts out and weep with the pizza man. I make pizza, yeah? Paul says, we do this so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but God's power. So it's not about superstars. It's not about just the leaders. It's about every single person sitting here being part of God's army. And there's some young folks sitting here, and there's some more seasoned travelers. It's for all of us. Everyone. But if you want God to use you, you have to be willing to be interrupted and available. You know, back to my story at the beginning, where we went to Harry Smith to the, it's called Wimpy, but the Wendy's. I had to be willing to be interrupted and available for God to use me. And it was a conscious thing. And thank you, Lord, for the team that was around me, because they reminded me of that. Because if I was on my own, I might have just not. But for God to use you, you have to be willing to be interrupted and available. Plug into local church. Look, listen, and respond. And as you go, just share Jesus. And it's not about an apologetic or wise words. You know, we come from South Africa. You can come to Africa. You want to come, you can walk with the lions. You want to walk with lions. You can go and play with lion cubs. But man, these animals are the little lion cub, this big, and you sit on the floor and you hold him and he grabs you with his claws. That little kitty is strong. A lion this size is so incredibly powerful. Jesus is the Lion of Judah. How do you defend a lion? Just let him out of his cage. You don't have to defend him. Turn him loose. Turn Jesus loose in your city, in your life, in your family, in your work, wherever you are, and watch what he's going to do. So we're going to have some ministry. I want to invite the worship team to come up. And just as we take some time to worship and consider some of the stuff, can I ask, first question is, who sitting here this morning would like God to use them? Man, don't you want God to use you? So what are you expecting him to do? But if you want God to use you, you have to be willing to be interrupted and available. Because you might be sitting here going, I can't do this. I'm too broken. I'm too hurt. I'm too messed up. But God uses wounded healers. And God's style of revenge is to rescue the broken people and turn them into rescuers. Whatever's going on, he can heal you. He can set you free. He will use you and make you into a rescuer. Because God's gift to us is ability. Our gift to God is availability. So why don't you stand? I'm going to pray. We're going to worship and have maybe a time of ministry after that. But Lord, would you move in power here this morning? We invite you, Holy Spirit, to have your way. God, would your kingdom come and would you move in power? Lord, as we worship, we give you our lives. We say we are available, Lord. Spend us like small change in your pockets. You know, I just been feeling in the worship at the beginning to say, in the vineyard, we like to pray for the sick as well. So if you're unwell or not feeling well, when ministry time opens, I want to invite you to come up. And there's kind of two things that I just feel. If you have pain anywhere in your body or you're unwell, we'd like to pray for you. But also I have, I think there may be someone with a sciatica. Do you call it that here? Sciatica, that nerve that runs down. That you've got a problem there and you have pain. I feel God is wanting to heal that. And then there could be someone who has, I think it's on your left side, kind of your ear. You have pain or headaches or whatever, and it radiates down your neck. I just feel like God might be wanting to heal you this morning. I'd like the opportunity to pray with you. Okay, so let's worship. Lord, have your way as we worship you. King Jesus, we welcome your presence. So have your way among us.